This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the names of Allah, the Exalted. And remember that when it comes to learning the names of Allah, and especially reflecting upon the meanings of the names of Allah, then this is something that is extremely, extremely beneficial to the state of our heart. It is something that increases our faith. It is something that that enables us to enjoy worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something that helps us find closeness to Allah. It is something that helps us have the motivation to obey Allah, the Exalted. And when we reflect upon the names of Allah, then this is an exercise that helps remove the veils of negligence, the veils of heedlessness and doubt. So this is something that is extremely important for the health of our heart, for building and strengthening our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember that the more a person knows Allah, then the more they fear Allah, and the more they love Allah, and the further they are from disobeying Allah. And they also have more hope in Allah the Exalted. So this is something that we shouldn't just do at an intellectual level, that we are just trying to learn the different names and study their different meanings. But this is something that is that should be done for the benefit of our heart. This is something that should be done for practical purposes, to really strengthen our relationship with Allah the Exalted. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we are doing, and let this knowledge be a means of increase in faith and not an argument against us. So today, inshallah, we are going to study the name of Allah Ar-Raqib, the name Ar-Raqib. Ar-Raqib meaning the ever watchful, the one who is constantly observing, the one who is watching his slaves and guarding them. Now, the name Ar-Raqib occurs three times in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, "Inna Allaha kana 'alaykum raqiba," that indeed Allah over you is ever watchful. In Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 52, it is said, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا, that Allah is ever over everything watchful, meaning He is ever watchful over not just you, O people, but كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, every single thing. So whether it is living or non-living, whether it is human or jinn or animal, your actions, everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watchful of it. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 117, it is mentioned about Isa alayhi salam that he will say on the Day of Judgment that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him that, did you tell people that they should worship you and your mother? So Isa alayhi salam will respond, he will give an answer, and part of that is that وَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ, that Ya Rab, I was a witness over them for as long as I was among them. فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. But when you took me away, then you are the one who was raqib over them. You are the one who was watching their deeds. وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. And you are a witness over everything. So the name raqib comes in three places in the Quran. Now, what is the meaning of the name Raqib? Raqib is grammatically on the structure of fa'il, which gives the meaning of fa'il, meaning Raqib is the one who has who does muraqaba or riqaba. So, for example, Samir is the one who has Samr, meaning the one who listens. Alim, the one who has ilm. So Raqib is the one who has who does riqaba. Now, what exactly is riqaba? Riqaba is to guard, all right? It is al-hifz, to guard, wal-harasa, to watch and wait with caution and attentiveness. So it is to guard, to preserve, to watch and wait. How? With caution, with alertness, and with attentiveness. And the word riqaba is used in a number of ways. Firstly, it is used in the meaning of to pay regard and consideration to something. So, for example, in the Quran, we learn about Harun alayhi salam, that when Musa alayhi salam returned and he saw that the people were worshipping the calf, he was really upset with Harun alayhi salam, that why did you not stop them? So Harun alayhi salam, he gave a reason, and he said that إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي. That I was afraid that you will say that I have caused, that you have caused division among Bani Israel, and that you did not pay regard to my advice, to my instruction, what I told you to do. So riqaba is, first of all, to pay regard, to pay consideration to something. Secondly, it also means to guard or to take care of, to be mindful of something. So, for example, if a people were traveling, then and they stopped somewhere at night, they needed someone to keep an eye, right? To be the guard for the night. Or if a people were under attack, they would have someone, watch them at night. So it is said, أَنَا أَرْقُبُ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ. I will guard all of you tonight. I will keep watch. All right. So from the same root is the word marqab, which is basically an elevated place where, a watch guard, for example, stands in order to keep an eye, right, in order to observe. So the second implication of the word is to guard and take care of something. Thirdly, it also gives the meaning of to watch and wait for something or someone, expecting it. So in the Quran, it is said, وَارْتَقِبُوا إِنِّي مَعْكُمْ رَقِيبٌ. That wait and watch, and I am with you, one who waits and watch. Meaning, let us wait and see what happens. Whether the help of Allah comes to me, or you are the ones who are victorious. And then finally, the word also gives the meaning of fearing someone. And remember that when you are afraid of someone, then what do? You guard yourself. You become vigilant. You become watchful, right? You become extremely alert. So Musa alayhi salam, we learn about him that when he accidentally killed someone, فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. That he became afraid and he became extremely vigilant. Right? Meaning he was afraid, so he was very watchful with regard to himself. So these are the different implications of the word riqaba. Now, raqib is someone who has riqaba or who does riqaba. What does it mean? Raqib is someone who is entrusted with guarding something. All right? So raqib is someone who has been appointed to do what? To guard something, to protect and watch something, to look out for it. And that means that they can never, ever be negligent about it, right? So for example, if you are entrusted with babysitting someone's child, right? What does that mean? That you are going to pay attention to that child. You're going to make sure that that child is safe. You're going to make sure that you're constantly watching that child, right? Especially if they're a toddler. Why? Because they could end up, running away. They could end up doing something that could hurt them. So you have to be extremely vigilant. So this is Raqib. Raqib is a vigilant guard, all right, who is entrusted with guarding something or someone. So they look out, they watch out, they constantly observe, and they're never, ever negligent, all right? They're never distracted. So the word raqib in the Arabic language is used for a haris, all right, or a hafil, meaning a guard, a watcher, an observer, all right? Meaning the one who is watching, the one who is guarding, the one who is keeping an eye. This is raqib, all right? And then the word raqib in the Arabic language is also used for amin, meaning someone who is entrusted. So in the game of Maisir, which the Arabs used to play, it's a game of chance, basically. They used to appoint someone as raqib. Why? Because this person was supposed to, their job was to supervise and observe the person who is shuffling the arrows, all right, to make sure that there is no cheating going on. All right. So these days, even, you know, in different games, you have, you know, the referee or, you know, different people who are appointed to keep an eye on the players, right? To keep an eye and observe every movement. So this is the meaning of the word raqib. All right. So raqib is who? The watcher over the affairs of that which they are guarding, all right? So raqib is the one who watches over all of the affairs and circumstances of the one who is being guarded. So raqib is not someone who just looks at one aspect, all right? Or watches over for just for a short time. No, raqib is someone who is constantly watching, constantly observing, all right, and constantly watching over every aspect, all right, every matter. So think about, you know, for example, a mother. When a mother is looking after her children, she doesn't just pay attention to, are they eating? No, she's paying attention to how much they're sleeping, right? A good mother, at least, or a mother who is, really concerned about the welfare of her children, will pay attention to their physical health, their mental health, their spiritual health, their emotional health. This is the concept of riqaba, right? To be extremely vigilant, all right? And these days, I mean, for a lot of parents who have, you know, children at home, of course, attending school from home as well, some mothers literally have to, or even fathers, they have to constantly keep an eye on their children, right? That what is it that you're doing on the computer? Are you actually in class or are you playing a game? All right. Are you actually doing your work or are you chatting with your friends? So this is the concept of riqaba, to constantly observe. Now, the thing is that as human beings, if we ever have to do this, right, if we have to keep an eye on someone, this is something that is extremely exhausting, right? Just watching over your kids, making sure that they're attending school properly from home. This is something that's so exhausting, right? It's mentally draining. You watch them and you cannot do anything else. You cannot do your own work, right? Or you think that you are, watching them, but subhanAllah, you find out from the teacher that they didn't actually submit their work, right? You think that your child is in school, but they're actually not in school. So when we are watching over someone, first of all, this is extremely exhausting. Secondly, we there's always gaps, right? There's always gaps. And this is because of our imperfection, because of the fact that we have limited capacity, right? We have limited motivation even. We have, limited ability. We get tired. Our eyes get tired. Our mind gets tired. Our ears get tired. We need a break, right? We fall asleep. And because we don't know everything, there are gaps in the way that we watch and observe and look after things, right? There are deficiencies. There are errors because of the fact that we are human. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any weakness. He is above any deficiency, right? And He is perfect in His ability. And this is something that, gives us hope, and it also instills fear in us. That, you see, sometimes it happens that even though we know we are being watched, we find loopholes and ways to, do what we want to do. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is absolutely no escape from Allah's surveillance. No escape whatsoever. So this is the concept of riqabah. Now, when we're talking about Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is al-Raqib, then what does this mean with regard to Allah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Raqib, this means that He watches over and He guards everything and everyone. That He knows everything and is fully aware of it. So there is nothing that is hidden from Allah. Nothing at all. Whether it is something external that people are able to see, or it is something internal that, other people are not able to see. It could be hidden from some. It could be visible to others. It doesn't matter what it is and where it is and who it is and what they are doing and where they are doing what they're doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches over and guards everything and everyone. So He sees every movement of ours. He observes every action of ours and also every inaction. So whether we are doing something or we're not doing something, we are moving or we are still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So there is nothing at all that exists in the earth that belongs to Allah and in the skies that belong to Allah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching it. He is observing it. It doesn't matter what its size is. It doesn't matter whether it is big or small. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. He is watching over and guarding everything. Al-Hulaymi said that Al-Raqib is the one who is not unaware of what He has created, meaning He is fully aware of what He has created, because ala ya'lamu man khalaq, the one who created, does He not know? Would He not know? Of course He knows His creation. So there is nothing about us except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. He is watching, He is observing. As Zajjaj said, that Al-Raqib is the guardian from whom nothing of what He guards is hidden. He is the guardian, the protector, from whom nothing of what He guards is hidden. In Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا, that Allah is raqib over everything. He is an observer, meaning a guardian over everything. One of the scholars said about this ayah that what this means is that Allah is the observer over everything, meaning everything that He has permitted for you or forbidden for you, and everything else. So Allah knows the commands that He has given, the things that He has forbidden you from, and He knows what you're doing, whether you are observing them or you are neglecting them. Whether you are consistent or inconsistent. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to fear Him, right? To fear him. And then at the end of the ayah, it is said that Allah is an observer over you. So fear Allah, because Allah is watching you. And you see, anyone who is watching us, right? So for example, at the workplace, or if we are studying a teacher, if we are at home, our parents, our spouse, sometimes our children are very vigilant, right, of what we are doing. So, you know, people around us who are watching us, what happens to them is that they fall asleep, they go away, right? They get distracted, they don't realize, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ar-raqib, and He is such that la ta'khuduhu sinatun wala nawm. He does not sleep. He does not become tired. He does not even get sleepy. Allahu Akbar. He is the one who is watching over us and also guarding us. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-raqib, this means that He watches over and manages the affairs of His creation. So everything is under His supervision. Everything is under His supervision. You see, a lot of people, you know, they have authority, they have power, or they have responsibility, but they're also negligent, right? They have no clue as to what is going on, right? Sometimes there are fathers who have no idea about what's going on in the lives of, you know, their children. Sometimes there are, you know, people who own businesses and they have no idea as to what is happening, right? There is a manager and he has no idea what's happening, right? There are people who are completely disconnected from their responsibilities, right? And some people think the same about Allah, astaghfirullah, that, you know, that God created the creation and then He has abandoned it, or He doesn't really care about it. He's not really involved with it. That's not the case. Allah is ar-raqib. He created the creation and He is watching over it constantly. Every single thing. So in Surah Yunus, ayah 61, it is said, وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. That nothing is hidden from Allah. Nothing is too distant from Allah. Nothing is absent from His vision, right? Even if it is something as tiny as the weight of an atom, something extremely tiny, the tiniest particle. It could be somewhere in the earth, somewhere in the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully knows about it. In Surah Al-Sajda, ayah 65, we learn, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He manages, He regulates the affairs of the creation, right? And then His commands, you know, they descend, they're carried out by the angels. And then the angels take the report back to Allah azza wa jal, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-raqib, meaning He is constantly watching over and managing the affairs of His creation. He is not unaware of them. He is not negligent of them. No, He is constantly watching them. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-raqib, this also means that He watches the deeds of His slaves. Of course, this is included in the first meaning, but I wanted to highlight this especially, that our deeds, our actions are being watched by Allah Azza wa Jal. They're being watched by Allah. He is observing our actions, our deeds. Now think about it. If we know that we are under surveillance, that we are being watched, we become so particular. We become so careful, right? So proper. Now, the fact is that we are constantly being watched by Allah. And remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching our deeds, it doesn't just mean that He is seeing them, that Allah is basir. Of course, He is basir. He sees what we are doing. Raqib is the one who watches and waits, right? Watches and waits. And as we learn in Surah Al-Fajr, ayah 14, that إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ, your Lord is in wait. What does that mean? That He is watching what we're doing. And there is a time that He has set to give us the consequences, the result, the outcome of our deeds. Allahumma ighfir lana. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. He watches the deeds of his slaves. Ibn Kathir said about the name Ar-Raqib that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching all of your deeds and all of your states, meaning any condition that you are in, any circumstance that you are in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. In Surah Al-Ra'd, ayah 33, it is mentioned, أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَى كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is basically watching over every person, right? Every person with regard to what each person is earning. In Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 105, it is mentioned, وَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. That do what you are doing, and Allah will watch your actions. Allah is watching your actions. You have a chance right now, the freedom right now, to do what you can. And remember that what you do, Allah is going to observe it. وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَسَتُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. And then you shall be returned to the knower of the unseen and the witnessed. Meaning you are going to be returned to Allah who knows everything about you. Whether you did something in secret or you did something in private. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then he will inform you of what you used to do. And part of the meaning of that he will inform you is that he will give you recompense for what you have done. Ibn al-Qayyim said about the name al-Raqib that وَهُوَ الرَّقِيبُ عَلَى الْخَوَاطِرِ وَاللَّوَاحِظِ كَيْفَ بِالْأَفْعَالِ بِالْأَرْكَانِ. That when he is Raqib, he is an observer. He is watching over, constantly watching your thoughts and glances. What's going on in your head and what you're looking at. Then what do you think about actions and the things that he has obligated? That the actions that you're doing, right, and the commands that he has entrusted you with, then what do you think? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not watching what you're doing? Of course he is. So remember, every single deed of ours, whether it is big or small, it is religious or worldly, right? It is done out of habit or, intentionally, right? It is done consciously, knowingly or unknowingly. Every deed of ours is known to Allah. قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. And even the whispers that we utter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of those. In Surah Al-Zukhruf, ayah 80, it is said, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Do they think that we do not listen to their secret conversations and their private conversations, their whispers? Bala. Of course we do. We listen. وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. And our angels are with them, writing what they're saying. So every deed of ours, and remember, this action could be religious or otherwise. In Surah Al-Shu'ara, ayah 217, it is said, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ. Put your trust in the one who is almighty, the one who is merciful, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. The one who sees you, the one who looks at you when you stand, meaning when you stand and pray. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. And you're going about among the people who worship Allah, who make sajda. So every single movement, every single deed of ours, whether it is in private or it is in public, because remember, حِينَ تَقُومُ, when you stand to pray, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform tahajjud, in the night, alone, when nobody was with him. So whether you are doing something when you are alone or you are among people, وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ, you're going about among the sajideen, the people who are worshipping Allah. So every deed of yours is known to Allah. And remember that part of watching is to also guard, right? So he watches the deeds of his slaves. This includes the meaning of the fact that he preserves the good deeds of his slaves as well. that he protects the good deeds of his slaves. So for example, in a hadith, we learned that when a person gives sadaqah, a person gives charity from wealth that is pure, that is lawful, right? Then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes that charity to increase and grow. So much so that in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared that with how a person looks after a baby horse, a foal, right? And this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards and protects your good deeds, the good deeds that you do with sincerity, right? The best that you can do. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described how it becomes the size of a mountain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves, He watches over, He is al-raqib, meaning He also protects, He preserves, He guards the efforts, the good deeds of His slaves, meaning He will not let them go to waste as long as they don't do anything that nullifies their good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-raqib. So in a hadith we learn about how on the Day of Judgment, a person will be brought and his records will be placed, right, in the scales. And he will see how huge those records are and how they're filled with his sins, with his errors, with his mistakes, with his shortcomings, right? And when he will see how many sins there are, he will think, that's it, I'm doomed, right? And then what will happen is that a bitaqa, a card, all right, will be brought. And that card will be placed on the other side of the scale. And what will happen? The scale will tip, meaning that card will be heavier than all of those records filled with sins. And what is in that card? La ilaha illallah. The belief that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And that is how that person will be saved. Right? So this person's iman, that la ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raqib, meaning he protects that, he preserves that. And look at how a person will be saved on the Day of Judgment, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-raqib. And then remember that part of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches our deeds, even those deeds which we manage to do while no people are watching us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-raqib over that. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-raqib, this also means that He especially guards and protects His righteous slaves. Al-raqib, remember, part of the meaning is to guard and protect, right? Not just to supervise, but to preserve, to protect, like a guard who is appointed to, watch over the people all night long, so that if there is an enemy that is approaching, he can alert them, right? So this is the purpose of watching, to guard and protect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially guards His righteous slaves. In Surah At-Tur, ayah 48, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told, "Wasbir li hukmi rabbika fa innaka bi ayunina." Be patient over the command of your Lord, for indeed you are under our eyes, under our supervision. We are watching you. So be patient, be consistent with the commands that Allah has given you, because Allah is watching over you. He is watching what you're doing, right? And also this means that be patient over it, meaning be consistent with it, and Allah is there to protect you. Don't be afraid of people when you're obeying Allah, because Allah will protect you. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. In Surah Hud, ayah 37, we learn Nuh alayhi salam was told, وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَوَحْيِنَا. And build the ship under our observation and our instruction. We are watching you. We will protect you. We learn about how the mother of Musa alayhi salam, right, that how when she was told to put her baby in the water, she did that, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Musa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunited the mother and the son. right? We learn about Yusuf alayhi salam, that how when he was openly invited to sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Raqib, guarded him, protected him from falling into sin. So Allah al-Raqib especially guards and protects his righteous slaves. Then remember that al-Raqib, part of the meaning is that he has appointed different ways to guard and protect his slaves. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed angels, right, to observe our deeds and to record them, to preserve them, to write them down. In Surah Al-Infitar, it is mentioned, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ, that appointed over you are guards. And these are very noble guards who are actually scribes, who write down. What do they write down? What you're doing. And they know what you are doing. In Surah Qaf, verses 16 to 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ, that we are the ones who have created the human being, and we know what his soul whispers to him. Meaning, the self-talk that we have, where we talk to ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that conversation even. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, and we are closer to him than his jugular vein. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ. And then it is mentioned that how there are two receivers, okay, meaning angels, who are on the right and on the left sitting, all right, قَعِيد, sitting there, and they receive whatever that the person produces, all right? So, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ, a person does not utter a word, إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, except that there is right next to him, a raqib, a watcher, عَتِيد, one who is ready. Meaning, the angels are appointed over us as raqib, to watch our deeds, to watch our words. And as soon as we say them, as soon as we do those deeds, the angels record them. Allahu Akbar. So al-Raqib, he has appointed ways to guard and protect his slaves. And the angels, they don't just record our deeds. They're also appointed to observe our actions. So in a hadith, we learn about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the mosques, in the masajid, there are people who are like awtad. Awtad are pegs, meaning they're always present. They always attend the masjid. They're the ones who are holding the masjid, meaning keeping the masjid alive, right? Because they attend the mosque so regularly. They go to the masjid so regularly. And the hadith continues that the angels are their companions. So if they're ever absent, meaning from the masjid, they don't go to the masjid, the angels actually go and look for them. And if they fall ill, the angels go and visit them. And if they are in any need, the angels assist them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed them to do that. Allah is al-Raqib. And then we also learn about how, in another hadith, that when a person leaves their house, right? Then there is an angel and a shaitan over there, right? So if a person goes out in order to do what displeases Allah, then the shaitan accompanies him. And if a person goes out in order to do what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the gist of the hadith, then the angel accompanies that person. So Allah al-Raqib has appointed different ways to guard and protect his slaves as well, and especially through the angels. Now the question is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Raqib, what is it that we should do? What is our responsibility? How is it that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah is al-Raqib, that he is constantly an observer over us? When Allah is constantly observing us, this means that we should be attentive towards him. When he is watching over us, we should realize, we should remember that we are being watched, meaning that we should have muraqabah. And what is muraqabah? Ibn al-Qayyim explains that muraqabah is the constant awareness and conviction that Allah is watching our internal and external state. Muraqabah is to be constantly aware and to constantly believe in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Allah is watching my internal state and my external state. Because you see, sometimes we are very particular about our external state because we are afraid of being judged by people, right? We want to make sure that people are happy with us. They don't sense that we have some other intentions, etc. We fix our external state, but the fact is that our internal state is being observed by Allah, right? There are people who people don't have access to our internal state, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Raqib, is watching over our internal state as well. So we should be mindful of that. We should be mindful of that. Now, muraqabah isn't the state of where a person is disconnected from reality and that they, just enter another realm where they are, engrossed in their remembrance of Allah or in their love of Allah that they have no idea as to what is going on with their body, etc. Muraqabah is not something that is unachievable. No, muraqabah is attentiveness, right? It is mindfulness. It is to be aware that al-Raqib is watching me. Remember, I mentioned earlier that part of the meaning of riqabah is that a person is afraid, right, of someone. And when you're afraid of someone, then what happens? You become vigilant. You become careful about yourself. Now, one is that you are afraid of an enemy, right? Someone who's out there to harm you. So you're constantly vigilant. This is one meaning. But another is that you are afraid of someone you love, someone you care about a lot. So you are vigilant about yourself, meaning you don't want to do anything to displease them. You don't want to do anything to hurt them, to annoy them, right? So this is something that we should especially have with regard to Allah. Being afraid of Allah doesn't mean that you're sitting in a dark room and crying all night. Being afraid of Allah doesn't mean that you don't interact with people. Being afraid of Allah doesn't mean that you just sit and do nothing or that you're constantly in a state of prayer. Being afraid of Allah means being mindful of Allah. And so, and that includes, muraqabah includes, first of all, being mindful of what is in the heart. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Raqib, He observes our hearts, then this means we should pay attention to what is going on inside of our hearts. What is it that we have in our heart? What kind of thoughts? What kind of feelings? What kind of intentions? What kind of ideas? What kind of beliefs about Allah or about people, about ourselves? In Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 235, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُ. You should know that Allah knows what is in yourselves, therefore be cautious of Him. Be cautious of Him. He knows what's going on in your heart. In Surah Ghafir, ayah 19, it is mentioned, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the treachery of the eyes, right? That when you secretly look at something that you're not supposed to look at. And He also knows what the chests conceal, what hatred is there, what anger is there, right? What feelings of animosity towards someone, what jealousy is there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. And this is why it is so important for us to pay attention to the health of our heart. You see, sometimes we think that we should just suppress our emotions, right? That we should ignore what we are feeling. And this is not healthy at all. Because when there is anger that is sitting inside, there is, you know, hurt that is sitting inside, and it's festering over time, this is not just going to affect your relationships with people. This is going to affect your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why it's important for us to acknowledge hurt, to acknowledge trauma, and to learn how to process our feelings. Right. So if we need, for example, therapy, there should be nothing, basically we should not look down at it. It doesn't mean that you are, you know, a less of a person that you go for therapy, that you go and speak to a therapist as to how to process your feelings, how to process the trauma that you're carrying in your heart for so long, because we have to address it. We have to fix our internal state. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And if we don't address it, if we don't help, you know, our hearts heal, this is something very dangerous for our spiritual health as well. So muraqabah, first and foremost, is to be mindful of what is in the heart. Imam Alusi said regarding the name Al-Raqib, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nadhiran ila qulubikum, that He is watching your hearts. Muttala'an bima ala ma fiha, and He is fully aware of what your heart contains. He knows what you have in your heart, right? Are there feelings of pride? Are there feelings of jealousy? Are there feelings of anger, etc.? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. So don't ignore the state of your heart. Sometimes we think that, you know, part of being strong and part of being strong in faith is that we don't acknowledge our feelings, that we suppress them, that we, fake it. No, we have to pay attention to the state of our heart, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. Nadhiran ila qulubikum. And the heart should be really the most beautiful place of our being, because this is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about, right? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the state of your heart. So make it beautiful. If there is, if there is any, trauma and any ill feeling, any jealousy, address it, right? Address it. It doesn't mean that you're going to get over your sadness, you're going to get over your emotional pain. It just means that you will learn how to process those feelings so that your heart is a beautiful place, right? In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Ayah 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. That those people who give what they give, meaning they give in charity, and yet their hearts are afraid. Meaning even though they just did something good, they are still afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are they afraid? Because أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. They know that they're going to return to Allah. So there is no pride. So muraqabah, first thing is be mindful of the state of your heart. And this is something that needs active involvement on your part. Meaning you have to consciously pay attention to the state of your heart. Just as you have to pay attention to your physical appearance, you have to pay attention to what's going on in your heart. You have to be in touch with yourself, with your internal state. So even, for example, in salah, when we're praying salah, watching, you know, being mindful of the state of the heart means that we are paying attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? In a hadith we learn that when a person is praying and they're facing Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also faces them, right? And when the person does iltifat, as in they turn away or they start looking here and there, their heart is distracted, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also turns away from them. So be mindful of the state of your heart. This is the first step. The second thing that muraqabah includes is to be mindful of one's external state, right? So first, you begin with the state of your heart, right? And then secondly, you check your external state as well. That is it in alignment with the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent? So for example, the way that I'm praying, am I really praying the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to pray, right? This is part of muraqabah, because sometimes we think that I only need to care about the state of my heart, that in my heart I am happy, in my heart I am very pleased with, I am very happy with the decree of Allah, right? Excellent. But now you also have to watch your external state. And this means that we have to be careful about the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We cannot ignore them. So for example, when it comes to salah, are we praying salah? How are we praying? Right? When it comes to our dress, when it comes to our speech, there is guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed regarding these matters. We cannot ignore them. We cannot shun them. Right? We cannot say that, no, I'm just really focusing on connecting with Allah, you know, spiritually, and that's all that matters to me. That is important. But at the same time, what is important is our external state. Is it in alignment with the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent? In a hadith, we learn, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah no matter where you are. And fearing Allah means that pay attention to the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. In Surah Al-Alaq, we learn, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah is watching? That Allah is looking? Allah is looking at our actions. So this is part of muraqabah. Then the third thing is, muraqabah includes guarding the commands of Allah. What does this mean? Paying attention to, being vigilant about the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Personally, having that sense of responsibility, right? That this is something that I owe Allah. This is something that I must do. This is something that Allah has commanded me to do, right? Sometimes we are very particular about, very vigilant when it comes to our obligations towards people. And that's good. Right? If people expect something from us, take care of that. But when it comes to our teachers, our boss, manager, etc., parents, spouse, we want to make sure that we are dutiful, right? That we are doing our part. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about the commands that He has given us? When are we praying? How are we praying? Right? These are things that we need to pay attention to. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described ihsan, excellence, as an takhsha Allah ka annaka tarahu, or an ta'bud Allah ka annaka tarahu, that you fear Allah as though you can see Him, that you worship Allah as though you can see Him, right? And if that is not possible, then at least remember that fa innahu yaraka, He is watching you. So be vigilant about the commands of Allah. Fourthly, muraqabah includes being afraid to disobey Allah. Be afraid. In Surah Ali Imran 175, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Fear me if you're truly believers. In Surah Az-Zumar ayah 13, قُلْ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. That I am, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told to say that I am afraid that if I disobey my Lord, right, there will be punishment on a great day. I am afraid of the punishment of a great day if I disobey my Lord. What about us? So muraqabah, being mindful of Allah, means being afraid of disobeying Allah, that there is going to be consequences. So you stop yourself. That even though there is no one else to stop you, you stop yourself. Why? Because you are aware that ar-raqib is watching you. And then part of muraqabah is to be attentive towards your responsibilities as well. Because kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi. Right? Each one of you is a shepherd and each one of you is going to be questioned about his flock. So Allah ar-raqib, right, the ever watchful, is the one who has given each of us our flock And he is the one who is watching what we're doing. And he is the one who is going to hold us accountable. So this is all part of muraqabah. Now the question is, how is it that we can develop muraqabah? How is it that we can develop this heightened awareness, right? That my Rabb is watching me, that Allah al-Raqib is watching me. There's different ways. First of all, remember that you are always under Allah's eye. Remember, remind yourself that I am being watched by Allah, who neither sleeps, nor is he overcome by slumber, nor is he unaware. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى. Ask yourself when you're tempted to do something wrong. ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى. Does he not know that Allah is watching? Because when we are alone, when people are not around us, we tend to let our guard down, right? And especially when we are around people that we feel extremely comfortable with, we let our guard down. So we become very careless over there. And especially now with devices in our hands, it's so easy to fall into sin, right? End up doing things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with. So we need to remind ourselves constantly, my Rabb is watching me. And remember that you are never alone. You know, this idea of I am alone at home, right? I am alone in the car. I am alone at work. This is not true. You're never alone. A poet said that إِذَا مَا خَلَوْتَ الدَّهْرَ يَوْمًا فَلَا تَقُلْ خَلَوْتُ وَلَكِنْ قُلْ عَلَيَّ رَقِيبٌ. That when you are alone someday, then do not say, I am alone, but say that watching over me is الرقيب. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفُلُ سَاعَةً وَلَا أَمَّا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ يَغِيبُ. And never think that Allah is unaware for even a moment. Never, even for a moment, think that Allah is unaware of what you're doing. And never think that hidden things are hidden from Him, because nothing at all is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remind yourself of the fact that I am under supervision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Raqib, is watching me. Secondly, remind yourself that the angels are recording. The angels are there. I am under surveillance. Because مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Thirdly, listen to your heart. Because your heart will tell you, your nafs will tell you, this ain't right. This is not proper. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described sin as what? That وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. A sin is what haka fi nafsik, meaning it creates a disturbance in your heart, in your soul. وَكَرِهْتَ أَن يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. And you don't want people to find out about it, right? And then also remind yourself that the body remembers. You see, when it comes to trauma, this is something that is often spoken about, that your physical response, you know, to a certain event is beyond your control. Why? Because when you are in danger, when you are afraid, then there is a physiological response. And even though you may forget the event from your memory, you may not be able to recall that event, but your body remembers. So anytime you are in a similar situation, you will have the same physiological response. So for example, you don't even realize and you're clenching your teeth, right? You don't even realize and you start crying. You don't even realize and your face goes hot, right? And you don't want that to happen to your body, but this is because your body remembers, right? So your body remembers even the actions that you do. So on the day of judgment, your own body could be asked to testify against you. So these hands that we are scrolling with, these hands that we are typing with, these feet that we are walking with, right? These eyes that we are looking with, they remember and they will speak on the day of judgment. In Surah Yasin 65, verse number 65, we learn, أَلْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Today we're going to put a seal on their mouths. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ. And their hands are going to speak to us. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ. And their feet are going to testify بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, of what they used to earn. In Surah An-Nur, verse number 24, we're told, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ. Their own tongues are going to testify against them. وَأَيْدِيهِمْ. And their hands. وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ. And also their feet. They're going to testify against us. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So anytime that we are tempted to, you know, sin, be negligent of Allah, remind yourself, this hand is not really mine, right? It's loyal to Allah. This very hand could speak against me. It could testify against me. So these are some ways through which we can help ourselves develop that mindfulness and consciousness. Now, when a person has muraqabah, meaning a person is aware, constantly mindful that al-raqib is watching me, then what happens? What happens is that there is so much benefit. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects such a slave from sin. When you guard yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. When you stop yourself from committing sin, because you remember, I am being watched, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the strength to stay away from that sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the courage to leave that sin, to walk away from it, and to not even wish for it again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that strength. He will create a distance between you and the sin. But it has to begin from you. You have to take that first step. That, Ya Rab, I am afraid of you. I know you're watching me. I am going to leave this for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ultimately protect you. What happened with Yusuf alayhi salam? He was in a place where his father was not watching him, right? The Aziz, his boss, was not there. But what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. You guard Allah, you be mindful of Allah, and Allah will protect you. Part of the meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from sin. Right? Someone said that مَنْ رَاقَبَ اللَّهَ فِي خَوَاطِرِهِ عَصَمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي جَوَارِحِهِ. That the one who is mindful of Allah with regard to his thoughts, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him with regard to his limbs. You watch your thoughts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect your limbs from falling into sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also helps such a slave. What happened with the mother of Musa alayhi salam? How she was so afraid, right? She was about to let it out that child that Fir'aun's family just discovered is actually mine, right? But she was supposed to remain silent. She wasn't supposed to disclose that. But what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunited her with her son so quickly. So the one who is mindful of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also helps such a slave. So, you know, sometimes it is tempting to, use that which is unlawful because, hey, I'm an adult now. I can make my own decisions, right? My parents don't need to, or they're not here or they're not able to stop me. It's my life now, right? We want to exercise that independence. But when you are mindful of Allah and you stay away from what He has forbidden, because you remember, Ar-Raqib is watching me. My mom is not watching me. Ar-Raqib is watching me. Then Allah's help is going to be with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to assist you in your matters, right? In Surah Al-Talaq, verse number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever fears Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates ease for him in his matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for you. And don't we all want ease? Especially, you see, when you become an adult, when you stand on your own feet and you all of a sudden have your own place, you have to pay rent, you're thinking about buying your own place, you're thinking about buying your own car, you know, you have all of these financial responsibilities, these aspirations, you know, these goals. You want the help of Allah, right? You need the help of Allah. How do you get that? By having muraqabah of Allah, by being mindful of Allah. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects such slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them ultimate safety. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that there are three things that save a person, and one of them is khashiyatillahi fi sirri wal alaniya, fearing Allah in private and in public. So when you're afraid of Allah, when you are conscious, mindful of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also protect you. He will save you. And ultimately, we all want success on the Day of Judgment. So remember that the one who is mindful of Allah, it remembers that Allah al-Raqib is watching him, observing him. And because of that, he cries out of fear, right? Or he stays away from sin. Then we learn in a hadith that seven types of people will be granted shade on the Day of Judgment, shade under the throne of Allah, right? And of these seven categories is who? The person who remembers Allah when alone and his eyes are filled with tears, right? Why? Because he knows Ar-Raqib is watching me. Also another is the person who is invited to sin, to zina, right? But he stays away. Why? Because he knows that Ar-Raqib is watching him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant these people shade on the Day of Judgment. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Raqib, how is it that we can call upon him by this name? First of all, remember that part of dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا, that we should call upon Allah by his most beautiful names. Part of dua is also dhikr. Right, also to mention Allah, to remember him, to take his name. So when is the name Raqib mentioned? It is mentioned in the khutbah, right? For example, in the Jumu'ah khutbah, when the imam begins the khutbah, they should recite this ayah, the first ayah of Surah An-Nisa, because that is according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that ayah, it is mentioned, Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba, that indeed Allah over you is an observer. Right, he's watching over you. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Raqib, he is always observing us and watching over us, then we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, right? To grant us that strength to stay away from sin, to stay away from what is harmful for us. And we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that strength. So this meaning is conveyed in many du'as. For example, in this du'a, which is reported in Sahih Muslim, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal, that, O Allah, I seek refuge in you against weakness and laziness. Protect me from being weak, because sometimes we know Allah is watching us, but we're too afraid of people, right? Or kasal, there's laziness. There's we know that we should be getting up to pray, but we're feeling lazy, right? Wal jubni wal bukhl, jubn, cowardice, and bukhl, stinginess, wal haram, extreme old age, because in extreme old age, where a person is unable to do anything and they're a burden on others and they're a burden on themselves, it's so difficult, right? And then wa adab al qabr, Ya Allah, protect me from the punishment of the grave. And then, Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha. Oh Allah, give my soul its taqwa, the taqwa that it needs. Give my soul that consciousness, that mindfulness, that alertness, that you are watching me, that I should be careful. Wa zakkiha. And Ya Rabb, purify my nafs, purify my heart. Anta khayru man zakkaha. You are the best to purify it. Anta waliyuha. You are its owner. وَمَوْلَاهَا, its protector. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ. Oh Allah, protect me from knowledge that does not benefit. وَمِنْ قَلْبٍ لَا يَخْشَى, protect me from a heart that does not have any fear. وَمِنْ نَفْسٍ لَا تَشْبَعُ, and protect me from a soul that does not feel satisfied. وَمِنْ دَعْوَةٍ لَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهَا, and from a supplication that is not responded. So this is another dua. I was not able to find a dua in which the name Ar-Raqib is mentioned, but if we remember the meaning of the name Raqib, then we can see a lot of du'as contain that meaning, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly watching us and we must be mindful of Allah, then it is only with the help of Allah that we can stay away from sin and disobedience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Inshallah, we will conclude over here for today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.